Good morning, Arizona homeowners. You're tuned in to Rosie on the House, your Saturday morning tradition for 26 years on a glorious Easter weekend in beautiful Arizona. Come on in. We're in the garden this hour with our good friend John Eisenhower from Integrity Tree Service. If there's anything you'd like to ask concerning any tree you have or want, now's the time to get on board. Dial the toll-free number 1-888-767-4348. My daughter, Julia, will take your call. Operators, she is the operator, are standing by now to take the call. Romy and I are here in studio, and Michael Reisch and Brianna are all on board to handle all the technical ends of the broadcast. So we are prepared for you. Good morning, Mr. John. Romy, how was your evening last night? You missed quite a egg dying event yesterday.
Oh, I thought you were going to say egging event with Carol in high school. This was a dying event.
Oh, seven grandchildren and about 47 gallons of food die yesterday. I lost track how many eggs we died, but I haven't lost track how much food dye is all over the back patio.
Well, at least you're on the patio. I'm picturing your kitchen looking like Willy Wonka's chocolate factory.
Oh, we had a good time. John, what are you up to, my friend?
Well, it's great to be here again. We've got lots to talk about today. Lots of things to do in April with trees. We've got lots of planting ideas. We've got some tree selection we want to talk about today. Some of you have, your listeners may have small planting areas, and we want to talk about getting some giving them some good ideas on how to, some nice trees that are appropriate for small planting. We've got some thoughts about irrigation as well. We need to talk about, how to get ready for the warmer weather that's right around the corner.
Well, when we talk about selecting, what comes first, the tree you select or the space you select?
Well, you do need to have the right tree in the right place. We talk about that a lot, that we have to have, sure, you need to do a little bit of research, find out where, of course, where are you going to plant the tree? What kind of overhead clearance do you have? The distance to the next hardscape element, like a sidewalk or a driveway or a fence. And then, of course, you can go to the nursery with an idea. Okay, now what kind of small plants can I get that are going to fit this spot? We have a lot of our customers, unfortunately, that have trees that have outgrown their spot. And they might have to come down. They might need to be cut back heavily to be able to accommodate that spot. But a lot of times when they have to take a tree out, they're asking us, what should I put back into its place? And we have developed a little list of some trees of appropriate sizes that are really great for those small spaces.
And for those small spaces, what are we looking at?
What are some good trees?
Yes, sir.
The best, there's a short list. We've got the list on our website as well. But I love the Texas Mountain Laurel. It's a good one, a small tree. These trees not only don't get really tall in size and spread, but they're not really aggressive rooting trees. Because you can have some smaller trees that are very aggressive rooting, and you want to be real careful with those because before you know it, they're going to get underneath your pavers or your sidewalk.
And is that an evergreen?
Yes, it is. Yeah, Texas Mountain Laurel's evergreen. Also, a Thevesia is a yellow oleander. We like the Vishas because you can pretty much cut them back any way you like. They're a little frost sensitive, but they grow back quickly. I also like the Orange Jubilee or the Yellow Bells. They're really considered a large shrub. They're not really a small tree, but they can grow pretty tall. You can get them up to 10 or 15 feet in height. Again, frost sensitive, but man, even if you have to cut them back, they just bounce back every spring beautifully.
Now, both of those you mentioned had yellow, so I'm assuming they've got yellow blooms,
flowers, yes.
All are those spring blooming?
Yes, they are. The Orange Jubilee and Yellow Bells, I think they carry their bloom all the way through the summer. The Texas Mountain Laurel has a purple bloom, which is pretty cool. And in fact, the Texas Mountain Laurel, has a fragrance of grape soda. So when you have those in full bloom, it's really cool. It just smells like someone's got a grape soda open right next to you. It's pretty nice.
So that's for a small area. Define small. Is it a container? Is it a patio home? Is it 10 feet off the foundation?
Well, when we think of a small space, we're talking about the actual planting space itself. We often will have a little planting bed that's 18 inches wide, 24 inches wide, and you think, gosh, I'd love to have something that was tall enough to provide a little shade or a little bit of beauty, something above shoulder height. But what do I put in there that's going to grow up above the height of a typical shrub? And that's what we're looking for with the Texas Mountain Laurel, the Thafisha, the Orange Jubilee. They can get up to that 8, 10, 12-foot height, give you the kind of the appearance, maybe even some shade value of a tree, but it's not really a tree. These are smaller, I consider them large shrubs.
1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. Now, one of the things you have in your plant selection talking points was avoid removing water sprouts.
Well,
is that different than a sucker shoot?
Yeah, suckers are coming up from the root zone, from the root collar itself around the base of the tree. Water sprouts are those small little sprouts, you know, typically called suckers, but they're the ones that are emerging from the main trunk or the main stems in the lower part of the tree. We like to leave those in. In fact, when you're selecting plants in the nursery, try to avoid the lollipop trees, the ones that just have a single stem with nothing on it and then a big lollipop of foliage at the top. Those tend to be pretty unstable. They're hard to stay upright. You have to stake them for a long period of time. Look for the same tree, but look for one that the nursery has grown with some water sprouts along the stem. Those water sprouts protect it from sunburn, and they actually help contribute to the taper development of the main stem. Those smaller sprouts are photosynthesizing and carrying sugars and starches back to the point of attachment, and they actually help the stem they're attached to get larger in diameter. So those water sprouts play a vital role in the inside of your shrubs. And if you can get one that has those water sprouts at the nursery, keep those in. You might eventually take some of them out, but while in the early stages of growth, it's nice to leave those in.
And what made me really question that one or drew my attention to that talking point, does that apply on the trunk as well?
Yeah.
Because I have a couple trees that are grafted, and a lot of times the graft is really low. I mean, it's almost dirt level. But these grafts are like a foot and a half. Do I take off all those water sprouts that are below the graft on the rootstock?
Yeah, you do need to take those out. Those are true suckers. Anything that grows below that root graft are suckers, and they are taking some energy away from the tree. So, you know, it wouldn't be a bad idea to leave those for a short period of time if they're providing a little bit of shade protection to the lower bark on the stem, if it's in the middle of the summer. But you don't want to let those get out of control. I actually have a big sucker. I just noticed it's growing up from below the root graft on one of my citrus trees. And I didn't even see it was down there because the apron of the tree is so low. But I just noticed I need to get rid of it pretty soon because it's growing right up through the canopy of the tree and it's starting to shade some other parts of my good sweet citrus. So I'm going to take that out probably this weekend.
Now, I know a lot of times when and it's changed over the years, but used to, like pistachios, you got to have a male and a female to pollinate. A lot of citrus are self-pollinating, but you're a big fan of planting in groups. Is there a reason other than pollinating that you like to plant in groups?
Well, the reason I mentioned that in that newsletter is that we wanted to have, it's really for wind protection, you know, and some shade protection. Trees, if you set them out on their own, are a lot more vulnerable to wind, to the sun. And if you're going to be planting a tree or two in your yard, why not group them together so they kind of work as a team? They protect, they buffer the wind from their neighbors, and they, of course, they provide a little bit of shade for each other as well.
Now, how close can you plant those in groups so they're not competing with each other, but yet they're growing to their full potential?
Well, you need to know what the mature width of the tree is going to be, and then you can make that decision. Do you want a blended canopy? You can plant them inside that diameter so that they grow together intentionally, so they kind of work together as a team. If you are trying to get them just to be on their own but growing in a grove, so to speak, then you can plant them out on, you know, 10, 15-foot centers. So at maturity, they'll be apart from each other very, you know, slightly.
And this is also Arbor Month. We've got a great, actually quite a conglomerate of organizations. The Arizona Community Tree Council, the Arizona Forestry Division, the Arizona Nursery Association, just to name, there's like six or seven listed on there for a big Arbor Day event down at the Capitol coming up next Friday.
Yeah, every year Arizona celebrates Arbor Day, and this year they're celebrating it on the 25th. With a big celebration at the Wesley Bowl and Plaza downtown Phoenix. It's a great event. They have a tree scavenger hunt this year, so they're encouraging families to bring your kids. They've got some master gardeners that will be on hand to kind of help walk some people through some educational events.
So on a tree scavenger hunt, do they just say, go find the ash tree?
I'm not sure all that it involves. Go find out. It sounds like a lot of fun, though, because this year they're really encouraging children to be involved. They have an art contest. They're going to be giving out awards for the 2013 Magnificent Tree Program, giving awards for champion trees, some heritage trees around Arizona. So it's really kind of a neat event. I think it's from 9 until 12 on Friday morning.
At last year's Arbor Day, I did not realize how many trees there really were at the Capitol. They did some tree climbing and some tree pruning demonstration from a couple different experts. And the Richard Atkins, is he with the City of Phoenix?
Yeah, he's city forester with City of Phoenix, yes.
He did the narrative on all the and on every different type of tree and everything they were doing. There's hundreds of trees down there. You just don't really realize it because there's so much to look at while you're walking around. It's quite incredible.
Yeah, I'm going to try to be there this year. I've emceed the event a couple of times in the past, but I haven't been there for a few years, so I'd like to try to take it in as soon as we can, yeah.
Free to the public.
Free to the public, 9 till 12, Westley Boland Plaza. Bring the kids.
Outstanding. Well, we've got Margaret on the line who has a blank landscape and wants to know where to start. I think a couple trees are going to be in her future as we're talking trees today with John Eisenhower of Integrity Tree Service. We've also got an open line for you at 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE-4U. We've got a couple other bullet points we'll be covering about staking. That's very important, especially if you're just now planting and the monsoon winds. Actually, man, if you've been outside the last any time this week, it's been, is it just me or has it been an overly windy spring?
It has, yeah. A lot of wind the last couple of weeks.
So we'll be talking about making sure your trees are correctly staked. And then we also have irrigation. Obviously, we're changing our seasons and we're going from winter, a pretty dry winter, to probably a pretty dry summer. So we want to make sure that we're correctly watering it. And it's something else, if you build it, they will grub. It's not just people that love lawns. Insects love lawns and grubs, and especially if you're up north. It's a much bigger problem, and you may notice some mounds of dirt. It could be burrowing creatures going after the grubs for their food. Bonide's annual grub beater is the answer to your problem. You can apply it now in the spring and again in the fall, and you'll have a grub and insect-free lawn year-round, especially if you're doing biannual planting with your rye grasses and your Bermuda grasses. It's available in 5 and 15,000 square feet applications. You can find it if you're in the Mesa area at Treeland Nurseries and Phoenix at Summer Winds at both locations, whether up on Tatum or down on 16th Street. And you can also get Bonide's annual grub beater at Harlow Gardens in Tucson. You apply it now for a insect and grub free lawn. That's Bonide's annual grub beater.